And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The boy Casanova from Orlando, Florida, on this awesome and international podcast, Good Wine and Great Laughs, Season 6. And today's topic is Black sororities and fraternities are now the new target for Republicans in Florida. You will know shortly the type of wine I am drinking. So, ladies and gents, let's get this party started. Let's go! Alright, ladies and gents, once again, this is your boy Casanova from Orlando, Florida, on this awesome and international podcast, Good Wine and Great Laughs, Season 6, Episode number 11. And once again, ladies and gents, today's topic is Black sororities and fraternities are now the new target for Republicans in Florida. And today is Saturday, March the 18th, 2023, and the weather here in Orlandito will be cloudy skies during the morning hours, followed by scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. You better get your gas umbrella ready, ladies and gents. Highs of 83 and lows of 53, ladies and gents. But before I jump right on today's topic, I will let you know about the wine of the day here at Casa Casanova. And ladies and gents, today we are heading to France again. I got this wine called Pulse. It's a rosé wine with a natural coconut flavor. So I was doing my search about, you know, went to the wine store, let me find another wine that I never had it. And I chose this one right here. And according to the label in the back, it says, Pulse is an exciting blend of quality rosé wine with a natural coconut flavor. It's recommended to be served chilled or over ice. The alcohol percentage of this wine is 8.5 per volume. Ladies and gents, once again, this wine is for France. Let me see what this wine is all about. I have many rosé wine in my life, but this is the first one mixed with some coconut flavor, and I love coconut. So let me see what this wine is all about. Beef, I love the smell. Nice, very delicious. And let me see what this wine is all about for the first taste. All right, ladies and gents, I like it. This is a very different wine, but it is delicious. If you definitely like coconut flavor taste, you're going to love this wine. And this wine definitely got a spot on my empty bottle shelf collection that I have here at Casa Casanova. Definitely recommend this. Very clear, very crispy, and very tasteful. It's a very tasteful wine. I give a 10 for this wine right here. Oh yes, oh yes. This is a very, very good wine, ladies and gents. And once again, on my YouTube channel, you will see the image of the bottle, but also on my Instagram, my LinkedIn, and on my Facebook page, with the same name of today of the podcast, Good Wine and Great Laughs, you will see a clear, beautiful picture of this wine. So if you like rosé wine, and like coconut flavor, you will definitely enjoy this wine. Great, great, great wine selection. Glad I select this one. So, ladies and gents, so this week I was looking for something to talk about, and here we go again. Florida lawmakers, mostly Republicans, always the Republicans that want to start some shenanigans, ladies and gents. Now they are targeting the black sororities and fraternities and colleges here in Florida. But I'll give my 2 cents about what I think, and I found this channel, the show called The Culture, is under you find this on the Black Star Network, the Roland Martin Network, and on YouTube. So, and pause the music, background music right now, so you can listen to the whole information, what's going on here in Florida. 1 second, please. Here we go.
Well, hey, everybody. Again, it's a pleasure to be with you. I'm super excited. Suzette Speaks here, TV host and attorney out of Miami, Florida, sitting in and filling the very big shoes of my big brother, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you, Faraji, for the opportunity to sit in for you today. So we're going to start with our first story, y'all. Directly out of the Florida legislature, we are seeing a bill that is highly problematic. We know that diversity, equity, and inclusion programs have had a very hostile environment as of late in the state of Florida, and we're seeing a new iteration of a bill coming through the Florida State House. This is House Bill 999, and the proposed bill, some worry, would block the existence of black fraternities and sororities. I'm going to go to, there are a couple news sources we're using for this story. That would be News One. You can also find a story on this in The Hill, as well as WPTV, which is the local Palm Beach affiliate of NBC. But just to read a quick quote from that article here on News One, what is going on? Basically, we have a Democratic representative, Yvonne Henson, a Democrat from Gainesville, Florida, and she has been advocating in the Florida State House for considerations that might inadvertently happen if this bill is passed, and one that lawmakers are sounding the alarm on, or whether or not this will impact student organizations such as Black fraternities. The bill states the controversial HB 999 bill aims to restrict the programs and activities that Florida universities and colleges can promote or support. It calls into question student organizations, groups, or activities centered on diversity, equity, and inclusion. Well, I have the right brother to help me unpack what's happening in my great state, the Sunshine State. You know him. He is a continuous contributor here. He is also a diversity, equity, and inclusion expert. Y'all, please welcome back with me today to The Culture, my brother, Chinedu Wokafor, who will be joining me now. Welcome, Chinedu. How are you, brother?
How you doing, my sister? I'm fantastic. Good to see you hosting.
Listen, y'all got me a little bit nervous, but I hope y'all will work with me. And feel free to talk back. You know this is an interactive conversation, y'all. So leave your messages in the chat, or if you're watching Team Replay, leave your comments below. We like to hear what our audience, the Culture Crew, has to say. So welcome, Chinedu. Listen, Florida is always going to keep us on our toes. And this proposed bill is no different. So let me just get your initial reaction. When you read about this bill, what was your initial reaction?
Yeah, when I first read about this, I wasn't surprised, because we all know that Governor DeSantis is posturing himself to be a substantial opponent to Donald J. Trump. So again, I wasn't surprised at what was taking place. What did surprise me, though, is that in my lifetime that we would be fighting for things that my forefathers and ancestors fought to get rid of. This idea of kind of going backwards, and not just in Florida. You see it in bills in Arkansas, and you see it with Greg Abbott in Texas. It is becoming concerning, but there is no surprise on my end.
So absolutely, I neither was I surprised. And again, if you don't know, in the Florida State Legislature, Republicans have a super majority. So even though we've seen votes, I believe in this subcommittee, I think it was 12-5, realistically speaking, Democrats don't even have the votes if it gets to the Florida House or the Florida Senate floor to block it, which makes it ultimately very concerning. So let's talk about what you saw in the meat of the bill. They are going after a wide range of programs. Again, we are worried because we think that, or some lawmakers have brought up the point that some of the organizations we have become accustomed to, such as fraternities, sororities, other affinity organizations around campuses, could be affected. So let's start with this. Tell us why such organizations, Black Greek letter organizations, are important to student life. Because we know that this term diversity, equity, and inclusion is kind of all encompassing. And it is kind of vague, according to some lawmakers, in terms of what is being offered in this bill. So let's start by kind of unpacking why those organizations exist in the first place and what they do for student life on campuses across our country.
I think first and foremost, it's really important to preface that there would be no need for inclusion if white people weren't so invested in exclusion and being exclusive and keeping people out and not giving people regular human inalienable rights. That's number one. So when you think about Black Greek letter organizations, the first being Alpha Phi Alpha, if my, I hope I'm saying this right, I don't want Roland Martin getting upset with me, but if my memory serves me correct, these gentlemen who founded that organization, they weren't allowed to join the other fraternities that existed. So that led them to start their own. And you go 100 and something years forward, and now you have 9 amazing dynamic organizations in the now National Panhellenic Council that not only bring culture, but have been the harbinger for excellence, for change, and for culture making in our schools, in our communities. So many great men and women are results of those tenets that are followed by this these organizations. And moreover, they become the fabric, especially for HBCUs, for the culture of that school. And even in the predominantly white institutions, especially the predominantly white institutions, when you have your Divine Nine, as they're called, organizations, they lend the space for the minority folks there, especially Black folks, to feel welcome, to feel at home, to feel like they can lean on the culture of those before them. And when you look at the academic excellence, when you look at what folks who are members of that organization have done for society, I mean, at this point, you know, the D9 and those who are of that organization have given so much to our culture, to our nation. So what DeSantis is actually doing is he's trying to cut into the fabric of our excellence. And whether you're in a D9 organization or not, it is a threat to all of us, because where does it end?
Absolutely. I want to bring up a comment. I see you guys in the chat again. Thank you for showing so much love. I see Karina Denise commenting. And again, we're focusing here on Divine Nine organizations, historically Black fraternities and sororities. However, this bill could potentially affect others, including Latin-based fraternities and fraternities and sororities, as well as gender studies programs, any kind of ethnic studies programs. So it's all encompassing in terms of possible student-led organizations that could be affected. Now, there are lawmakers who are proponents of this bill. Again, we have Chevron Jones and others. Thank you, Karina Denise. Thank you so much. Says this bill would affect Latin and multi-ethnic, exactly. Sororities and fraternities, not just D9, of course. So we have a broad base of possible entities on campuses that have historically, as you just pointed out, provided a safe space, a home for inclusion in campuses that traditionally had excluded people, in many ways still do, and provide a place for reinforcement of Black excellence and pride and a home away from home, etc. So why do you think we have continuously seen kind of DEI as the low-hanging fruit for targets by, specifically in Florida, the Republican-leaning lawmakers? Why is the phrase or the catchphrase, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion now seemingly to be the target of yet another bill? Why do you think they like going after these sorts of programs?
I would always, well, two things. One, I think there is an affinity that white folk have for black people in a very strange way. But more importantly, I always like to tell folks, when you think about this whole agenda of attacking DE&I, an agenda of attacking quote unquote wokeness, I think it's very imperative that we pay attention to what the census will be in 2050, where America will be a majority minority country, where white people for the first time will be actually the minority now. I think because of that, it is my opinion that white folk are trying to do whatever they can to stabilize and consolidate their power, even when that switch of the change of the guards, if you will, come to the place. But furthermore, the attack on DE&I, it's so funny to me when you think of the all industries where black folk, Latinx, sexual gender minorities have been kind of kept out of the conversation. And now people are trying to rewrite wrongs. All of a sudden, white people are getting uncomfortable. You hear DeSantis say things like, I don't want white children to feel upset about being white. But then that means in theory that you're also okay with initiating and inculcating ideas to make black folks and Latinx folks feel bad for who they are. And I think that is very, very dangerous, damning, and sad. And it's a fight that I think my generation and the generations coming after have to stand up for, which I think they already are.
Yeah, we're at a crucial juncture here in Florida. I think I was very optimistic at one point, but knowing again how the vote is basically spread and there's a super majority of Republicans, it makes me, you know, very worrisome when it comes to what will end up happening with these programs. Can you talk a little bit more about the critical race theory, which again is not really defined in this bill? We have about a minute or so. When people hear this term, it has become, again, a dog whistle for many to indicate some kind of nefarious attempt at brainwashing children, first and foremost. And we know it's not taught in elementary, middle, high schools, college. It started actually in the law school forum. But for those who are still kind of spooked by this terminology, which is mentioned in the bill, but is not defined, what is critical race theory and how is it defined in your estimation?
I think critical race theory, in my estimation, is a high-level graduate course that discusses not only the importance of what is going on in the African-American race and the black race, but how it is affected in a socioeconomic way, in an educational way, in a legislative way, so on and so forth. But it's very important that I emphasize that it is a high level. Like, it's not just that you went to college and this is something you study. This is more of a, what's the word I'm looking for? A concentration for those in those high level graduate courses for those who are you know, in school. However, in typical Republican fashion, they're buzzwording it to put critical race theory, wokeness, that it's being taught in your schools, which is not even true, but they're co-opting this again, because if the truth is now pontificated, then maybe folks will look at them and question why they did what they did or why they even have power. That is truly the most important part. If people realize what is and what has been, they may question why the people who are in power are in power. And that's kind of my thoughts.
We're getting deep. Thank you. We're getting deep. We got to take a quick break. We got to take a pause from the college show. We'll be back with more of the culture right after this break.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, on that note, the podcast is going to take a quick break. When I come back, I have the second part of this awesome conversation on the culture show from Roland Martin Network Black Star. Your boy Casanova is coming back. Charlotte! We'll be right back. All right, ladies, and once again, this is Barcasting Over in the second final block of this awesome international podcast, Good Wine and Great Laughs, Season 6, Episode number 11. So let's jump right on the continuance of the conversation from that awesome show on Roland Martin Network, Black Star, show called The Culture. Here we go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Culture. Suzette Speaks in today for Faraji Muhammad. We're talking with my brother, Shenedu Okorafor, who is helping me unpack what's going on in Florida. If you have not heard, there is a bill being considered that possibly would block a myriad of minority student organizations on university campuses. It's being called an anti-DEI bill, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, and it has passed out of subcommittee and will be considered by the full House, and then possibly a version will go through the Senate. Shortly, we are concerned because many lawmakers are raising the alarm as to whether this will affect organizations such as Black fraternities and sororities. Historically, Black fraternities and sororities play a pivotal role in student life, and when I'm talking about it today with my brother, we can bring him back. Shenedu, thank you so much for unpacking some of what is being said in this bill. I want to use another quote I saw that kind of gives us, again, some context as to why lawmakers are so really concerned with this language. Some of it seems very vague and very broad. So let's go to, if we can, the quote that we see here, WPTV, which is out of West Palm Beach, the NBC affiliate. HB 999 opponents fear the bill would regulate student campus activities at Florida colleges. Reads, what campus activities are you attempting to regulate? State Representative Yvonne Henson, Democrat, Gainesville, asked during a recent House committee hearing. Henson, who served parts of Alachua and Marion counties, laid out her concerns and questions to the bill's sponsor, State Representative Robert Alex Andrade from Pensacola. He's a Republican out of the Panhandle. The campus activities that would be all at all discussed and considered by this bill are campus activities conducted by, he's saying, administration and professors in their position of roles of power over what students have on that campus. Student activities are not included, Andrade said. So we are hearing that the bill author is claiming that this is only for administration. It has nothing to do with what the students are planning in terms of their organizations and their affinity groups. Black Student Union, I saw you in the chat, was also mentioned, as well as several others. Again, not just Black based organizations, Hispanic, Latino, it could be ethnic, for example, our Jewish brothers and sisters, as well as, you know, gender studies and all types of possible classes and organizations could be excluded. Do you believe that this type of bill will have the kind of cooling effect that they hope it will have? That is, that there are going to be professors that are afraid to take on classes, that there are students that are not going to get the type of educational experience that students of the past have had, that is broad-based, that has, you know, cultural and ethnic elements and history, imagine that, involved. Do you think this type of bill will, in effect, basically remove all mentions of historical accurate, in terms of historically accurate facts, in terms of Black history, as well as remove the elements that we've been talking about from college campuses?
Absolutely. I think that what we're seeing here is going to distort historical truth for comfortability. What I find very interesting, anywhere else, this would be called imperialism, this would be called communism. Anywhere else, if you hear about something like this in Russia, we would be so anti. If you hear about this in China with Xi Jinping, we'd be so anti. In North Korea with Kim Jong-un, we'd be so anti. But for some reason in our country, when these things happen, especially in the South, there is this ideology that these are our democratic rights or what have you. This is crazy. This is lunacy, as I've said many a times. I think this is going to create a sense of fear amongst teachers, amongst professors. Think about those who want to be tenured. Think about those who want to feed their families. This actually disincentivizes them from telling the truth. Right? And even if they don't speak the lie, if they're not saying the truth, then it gives more room for the lie to fester, if you will. I think this is also an opportunity, right? Where we hear this all the time, where, you know, we say education is power and a mind is a terrible thing to waste. This also gives us an opportunity to say that we are not bound and gagged by the nonsenseness, the nonsensical ideas of the government, where the truth will live on regardless of anybody's rule or regulation. Because I do recall once upon a time, we were not allowed to even be educated in any form. And that didn't stop us from learning how to read. And that did not stop us from learning how to teach. I do think that this is an important moment as we fight for our freedom and fight for our right to teach as we see fit based off of the truths that we've experienced and lived through, that we should not be stifled or scared or be made fearful simply because a law is coming into place. I think education and knowledge is so powerful that I hope this inculcates something in our young kids, maybe to do more educational TikToks, which I've been seeing, or educational reels, which I've been seeing. That knowledge is going to get out whether it's in the classroom or not.
Well, that's a hopeful note, because listen, we're gonna have to teach Black history at our houses and our church like we used to do. Hello, somebody. Because it seems, again, this is quite an orchestrated effort to use public schools as a platform for this agenda, which is to remove certain histories and even groups that are based in diversity and inclusion from not only college campuses. My fear, Sinead, is that it's gonna trickle down into, as what we've seen before, you know, when they go to K through 8 in high school as well. We got a hot conversation coming on in chat going on here. I'm going to bring up a couple of the quotes from the culture crew. Thank you, guys. If you have comments and questions, you know this is your show, right? So please go ahead and leave them in the chat. Let's start with Janelle. I see you, sis, and thank you again for always being a part of the culture crew. Her quote reads, we need to meet their bold attacks by asking why they are seeking to roll back civil rights by advancing color blindness. Can you react to this, please, Sinead? Because again, sometimes you see it kind of cloaked in this, why do we talk about color? And it is kind of a red herring, if you will, because we know that these programs are designed so that we have more diversity. And oftentimes, you know, I would say affirmative action, when things started to open up in the 80s, you know, you didn't have people hiring as well as colleges admitting in the numbers that you did after there was support by, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion programs. So what are your thoughts on Janelle's comments?
My thoughts are very simple. That's exactly what this is. It's a civil rights attack. And what is so funny about that exact statement, how she presented it, is that we have to also remind folks what happens when we move out the civil liberties of people. Where do we exist at? You know, thank goodness for those engineers who came from foreign lands, who worked at Google and Apple, that are enabling us to do the things that we do today. What happens when you make this place uncomfortable for people who have different ideas or from different backgrounds? So it is definitely a civil rights thing. It's a inhumane thing. And I think sometimes we need to make sure that we are cloaking it in that way, because that's exactly what it is.
Absolutely. We're going to go next to my sister, Lana L. Thank you again for your support. Fellow Culture Crew member, always holding us down, says, I think DeSantis is being strategic with this move. An attack on MPHC is an attack on Kamala Harris. I think it's smart politically, but Greeks are going to kick his butt. I think, yeah, our election of the vice president, Kamala Harris, did bring diversity. D9 as a threat. Thank you for the end part of that quote there. Appreciate that, Keenan. But yes, D9 has come to the forefront with the election of Kamala Harris. A lot of us already were quite familiar with their storied history and storied past. But now, is this maybe a power play to kind of get back at the D9 support and strong organizational capacities on the ground? so that for future, I mean, I've heard Brother Roland Martin say, we plan for the next 5 years, they're planning for the next 50 years when it comes to the outcomes of what this country looks like and what its institutions look like. Do you think it's, you know, kind of a specific attack on D9?
Absolutely. It's a complete attack on blackness. And I think it's important that we say that, because if you needed an example, look at those amazing 8 years that we had voted for one of the greatest presidents, arguably, in our history of this nation. And then look what we got right after. There's this idea of, even if black folk are bringing things that could help everybody, it's this visceral feeling that blackness is not good enough. And they're just using D9 as something, as you know, as a stud point, you know, for their attack on blackness altogether, on black liberation. And most importantly, if you pay attention, what the folks at D9 were able to do is bring people together, the college educated and the non-college educated, white collar, blue collar, celebrity every day. And that is a threat to the plight of white supremacy.
Man, it is for sure, I think, orchestrated in a way so that, again, the institutions that have flexed a little muscle, not a little, a lot of muscle within our community can somehow be targeted and even crippled, some would argue, going forward by making sure they cannot be on campuses. Again, I've seen quotes, and I don't know if you could put up a quote I saw from News One, Kenan, Senator Chevron Jones, a colleague and friend of mine here from Miami. He represents parts of Miami and Broward County, said during a debate, you know, that he is obviously very concerned. And again, I'm so grateful for so many of our political leaders here in Florida, even though they are outnumbered when it comes to voting. You know, they stay very vocal and they try their best to bring light to, you know, what's happening. So my question to you, Chinedu, is how do we even fight this? Because if the votes are, you know, not there in terms of the balance of power in the state legislature, again, Republicans have this super majority. They don't need, Democrats don't even have to show up, and they would vote in a large enough number based on the layout of the House to pass what they want to. What do we do? What would you suggest, whether it's through, you know, organizational structures, whether it's, you know, we had a wonderful interview with someone from Black Lives Matter come through yesterday when we had to kind of cut away and do some work behind the scenes. But what do we do, the everyday person? So you read this and you say to yourself, this is crazy. How can you affect change where you are?
I think what's important, you can affect change by where you are, more importantly, by getting involved, not taking this as a joke. I think what you said about Roland, or what Roland said, is very, very pivotal. We're planning for 5, they're planning for 50. And if we're planning just for 5, then we have to keep planning over and over and over and over and over again. It's important that folks get involved locally with their community, and more importantly, that people are having these conversations. And I would say to my fellow young people, y'all, it's our turn. Our elders did what they could. It's our time to have these conversations and put some action on these conversations to make sure that folks are putting respect on our names. And lastly, but never the least, it's important to join some of these organizations, not just Black Greek letter organizations, but Black affirming, Black liberation organizations, because you need to be around like-minded people, because it's very, very easy to get lost in the Black struggle when you are surrounded by a sea of whiteness.
And Chinedu, we have to say encourage, brother. We're going to have to hold the conversation right there. We got to take a short break, but after this break.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, as you heard this conversation on the culture, and I look at it while they're talking, I was doing my little search right here about, and I told it before, I have an episode and I talked about when Senator DeSantis was trying to raise the teaching in AP class about Black culture, saying the Black culture has no educational value. I don't know if you guys remember that, but go back a little bit more. You're going to listen to the whole episode about that. And I say on my YouTube channel that the main problem that I see here in Florida is that some Latino people, that they think they're 100% white. That's why they vote to the white agenda. And guess what? This guy right here, this House Representative, Florida House Representative, the one that the sponsor for this bill, his name is Robert Alex Andrade. And this dude is a Latino. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm talking about. The sellouts. You know what I mean? I bet, no, that's no, I wish you could have the genealogy about his family. I bet, I put money on it. I put $10 that his parents or his ancestors are from Cuba or any Latin other country. And the reason I say Cuba is because there's a whole lot of Cubans that come over here as immigrants, and all of a sudden now they change it and they think they're white and forget about that they are immigrants. And they go vote for the Republican. They vote for Trump, they vote for DeSantis, and they are now voting for any Republicans there. Because what's saying on discussion right now, they always come for the blacks. And just because they come to black and you are not black but still a minority, just wait a minute. Just wait because it's going to come for you. So that's my point, ladies and gents. You know, that's the problem right here. You know, that's the same way when they have some blacks that are Republicans, they are sellouts. You know what I'm saying? They don't have the interest of the people. They are just benefit themselves. That's all they care about. So they're going to do whatever they want to do, you know, to get, you know, the share, the big piece of pie, to try to adopt and play that they are white or focus on the white agenda. And I've said this before, I'm not going to say it again. And I'm not saying that all white people are racist, because this is not true. This is not true. I said that before, I'm going to say it again. But there's a whole lot of people like DeSantis and like some sellouts like this guy Alex Andrade that they believe that they're afraid about the growth of minorities, and they have to hold on to power, they have to ignore, and they have to diminish other minorities. You know what I'm saying? Yes, I'm right here. He's the House of Representatives from Florida, House of Representatives. He represents the 2nd District in Florida. And let me see if I can find him. He attended the St. Thomas Aquinas High School. It doesn't say where exactly what it is. He graduated in 2011 from the University of Florida with a Bachelor of Science in Advertising from the College of Journalism and Communications. And he completed his Juris Doctorate in 2013. And served as a gubernatorial fellow in the government's Rick Scott administration. No wonder. He was elected for the House Assumed Office in November 6, 2018. And tell about his born. I'm reading here this profile. He represents the 2nd District, which includes the part of Escambia and Santa Rosa counties here in Florida. And he was re-elected in 2022. So, like I say, a Latino, that's the one that sponsored this bill. You know what I'm saying, ladies and gents? So, I hope you guys are listening to this podcast. Please, if you're a member of any fraternity or a black fraternity sorority, or if you're not, you need to spread this word. You know what I'm saying? If you're a Latino, you should be, you know, ashamed. And if you vote for this dude right here as a Latino person, you should be ashamed too. Because I say before, I'm going to say it again. They are coming for the blacks right now, like they always do. And then it's going to come to the minorities. And then it's going to come to Latino. It's going to come for the Asians. And now they're coming for the LGBT and other letters community. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I keep telling you, people are not listening. Politics is very important. You may not like it, but you need to pay attention to what's going on. Because later on, it's coming for you. It's coming for your children. It's coming for the next generations of your family. So that's why, ladies and gentlemen, once again, I say it's very important for you to pay attention to what's going on in the local state first, and then federal politics. Because most of this grind, and that's the problem that she said, the majority of the House of Representatives here in Florida are Republicans. So you have a very short minority of Democrats. And even though the Democrats don't show up for the vote, they have the minority to pass these stupid bills that are coming to the floor all over. Not just in Florida, in Mississippi, I'm talking about in Texas, in Alabama, they keep it coming. You know what I'm saying? And it is a shame that we are now 2023 and they still have to fight to have the right to live and to together and to live a peaceful life in this country. You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. It's simply ridiculous. All these racist people right here. And like I say, the world to me is like, I'll call them the sellouts. You know what I mean? You're a Latino dude and you just like that. Oh my God, it's such a disgraceful. It's ridiculous. Simply ridiculous. So ladies and please know, you can once now, please make sure that you listen to this podcast, share the link, and share it to everybody because this needs to be known for everybody. La-di-da-li, ladies and gents. And on that note, ladies and gents, I would like to thank all of you people that listen to this awesome international podcast. Please keep it sharing with all your friends and family. Good one. And Great Last Podcasts come all the way from the bottom and move straight to the top. Aim to be the number one spot. Please feel free to visit your YouTube channel. Visit my YouTube channel, Good One and Great Lives. Please leave a comment. Please subscribe and click on the like button every time you watch a video from my YouTube channel, ladies and gents, because your click on the subscription and also click on the like is going to help this YouTube channel to grow. I appreciate your support. So once again, this is your boy Casanova. Please be safe, be kind, and be blessed. And I'll see you next Saturday. Enjoy your weekend. Coming from the bottom, moving straight to the top. Coming with the pull-up for the number one spot. Pushing my back like the push I want the block. Holding my down, sucker rappers get lost. Coming from the bottom, moving straight to the top. Coming with the pull-up for the number one spot. Pushing my back like the push I want the block. Holding my down, sucker rappers get lost. Coming from the bottom, moving straight to the top. Coming with the pull-up for the number one spot. Pushing my back like the push I want the block. Holding my girl, sucker rappers get lost.